I have to confess to you that last week I was very, very nervous because when I arrived, it said that Rab was doing Colossians chapter 3. And I was very pleased that it was a mistake on someone else's part, and he didn't. He did a fabulous job though, didn't he? Pardon? Yes, he did. Yeah. And he's a hard act to follow. But yeah, I have really enjoyed this. I suppose because I was involved a bit with Neville early on in the preparation of all this, and so it's kind of been nice to be involved in it and also be asked to preach. And you know, Neville did a lovely overview, and then in chapter one we looked at the deity of Christ and the Apostle Paul saying how important it was that they understood what had happened to them in terms of their faith. And of course, that last week, all the distractions that as soon as Satan sees someone saved, here comes pressure. Pressure from the world, pressure from ideas, pressure from all sorts of perversions and so on that are around in the world. And so when we come to chapter 3, it's application time. Don't you love that? We know the theory, we understand the principles, and now we have to apply it. And that's really the issue, is growing in grace. It's how do we grow in our understanding of what has happened to us, and how do we grow as a body together, and how is it that the world then looks at us, and they should, differently from the world. So we have to come apart and be different. So let's pray about what God would have us to learn today. Father, we thank you for your word, how wonderful it is, how precious that it has been preserved for all these years. What a wonderful teacher the Apostle Paul is. And in all the letters that he writes to the churches, your wonderful grace is shown. And help us, Father, to grow in grace and to grow in understanding and to grow in knowledge as you have encouraged us in your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We looked at this slide earlier on when we were looking at soteriology and talking about the act of salvation and what actually occurs. And so it's important that when we think about that, we have to understand we have become something different. Now, I have met people who have called themselves Christians, and yet I look at their lives and I look at the way that they relate to things, and you say, there doesn't look like there's a change going on here. I knew them before they were saved, and now I know them after they've saved, and I don't see the difference. And that's something I think we have to worry about. And we should pray for them, because if Christ, I know for me, when I got saved, things changed. My life changed completely. And I think that's what should happen to everybody. Now, it's all going to happen in a different way, but nevertheless, when we receive Christ, we receive a new life. We receive new understanding. And yes, we're babes. I must admit, when I first got saved, I felt like I knew absolutely nothing. And it took a while before I got comfort about anything that was from the Scriptures. Because the pastor made it difficult. He said, I'd like you to teach the teenagers. Oh, thanks. That's great, isn't it? And I said to them, well, I don't know anything. And they're going to ask me hard questions because teenagers are like that. You know, they do. And he said, don't worry about it. He said, I have the answer for that. You say, that's a very good question. And I haven't got time to deal with it this week, so we'll deal with it next week. And he said, I guarantee no teenager will ever remember by next week. And it worked. In fact, it works with adults too. But anyway, that's what you have to do. You have to understand you're going from nothing. And the Apostle Paul recognized that. He went from nothing. He had a huge religious background. But when he was saved, he recognized he had to change his view completely. And we have to have to understand there's a new level of existence. And chapter 3 starts with that. It says, listen, Now, when Paul wrote this, this is one letter, and so he in chapter 1 and chapter 2, chapter 3, he comes to the place, he says, now look, I want you to remind you where you've come from. And you have to understand that you have to stop thinking about things here and now and think about the future. I saw something on the internet which made me smile. I thought it was wonderful. And it said, this person said, I'm not worried about death because after all, it's location, location, location. And it's true, isn't it? If we are born again into the kingdom of God, we're changed, we're different. And now Christ sits on the right hand of God making intercession for me. And I know he needs to, but he's making intercession for you too. You see, we have changed. We've become citizens of heaven. And our affection needs to be heavenly. And that's difficult because we're surrounded by the world. And the world's telling us you're wrong. Telling us you don't know what you're doing. And so, in chapter 1, it talked about the whole idea that when you are saved, you have to understand salvation. You have to understand that Christ saved and that you were a sinner and you needed to be saved. And so Paul said, I'm going to pray for you. And we need to pray for each other. As a church, you should be praying for each other. As a church, I should be praying for you. You should be praying for me. Why? Because every day we have to go into a world that doesn't believe. There are so few Christians around us in our day-to-day existence. And Paul saying, I want you to be filled with the knowledge. I want you to start thinking spiritually and build yourself up. Get wise about what Scripture says and what has happened to you and grow in understanding. Why? Because when you walk in the world alongside everybody else, you're supposed to be different. We're supposed to have a different view. We're supposed to be not like everybody, a bit peculiar. I know when I got saved, the people at work thought I'd had a mental breakdown. I didn't learn this until much later on. But somebody later on told me, oh, we were very worried about you because we thought, you know, something really strange had happened and, you know, and we were worried you'd go off and join a commune or something. And it's because, and obviously, in a way, it made me smile because I thought, well, obviously my change in lifestyle affected them. And that's good. You know, it should. We should be fruitful. It says, you know, that people should look at us and go, they're different. Why are they different? Why do they behave the way they behave? Why do they say the thing? Why are they always talking about religious stuff? Why is that? It's because we're different, we're changed, we're increasing in the knowledge of God, and we're getting stronger as we exercise our faith. And that's important, that we exercise, that we learn and we grow, we study, we come and listen to preaching, we come and understand teaching, and we start to grow in our understanding. And I love it in Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says, look, I came to you and I taught you for 18 months, and I taught you everything you needed to know, and now you're going back to being babies again, and you have to go back to first principles because of what you're doing. See, you can't stay babies. You have to grow. You have to grow in understanding, grow in maturity. And with that comes the things that we need so that we can exist well. You know, patience, long-suffering, joyfulness about our situation. You know, we're no longer citizens of earth, we're citizens of heaven, and we need to be thinking about spiritual things. And then carries on in Colossians chapter 1 talking about being grounded, you know, earthed, grounded, solid in the faith, and settled. Everything is already decided. You know, you're saved? Yes. You sure you're saved? Yes. You know you're saved? Yes. Should be thinking about spiritual things, thinking about the life to come. And so then again in Colossians chapter 2, it talks about being established again. It talks about being rooted and grounded and settled. You know, these things have been done and recorded And I write to you to make sure you fully understand what has happened in your position now that has changed. And you are spiritually alive, we should be. And if you're spiritually alive, you need to be growing in understanding and growing in knowledge, being established and abounding in thanksgiving. And then comes the applications. So you look at chapter 3. Chapter 3 is do's and don't do's. And so he said, look, by the time you've read all this, you should have come to the place where you know I'm going to tell you stuff that's not going to be difficult. All right? There are things you can do, and there are things that the world's going to say is okay, but you can't do them. And there's some serious things that you should absolutely stay away from. And so he records those things. He's being honest. Going, look, we know these things are in the world. Stay away from them. Don't get involved with them. Reject them. And I tell you, it's getting harder and harder. You turn on the television, some of the stuff that comes across the television, I can't imagine it ever being done when I was a boy. It wouldn't have been acceptable. It would be X-rated. And yet, it's happening all around us, and the world thinks it's normal. And we have to have a different mindset. We have to examine everything and say, is this right? Is this what God is acceptable unto God, or should we reject it? And I think it's one of some of the difficult things, the covetousness. Hands up all those who have never been envious. You know, you go, I don't believe you. Okay, put your hand and put it down. I don't believe it. We're all envious about certain things. And we glorify things too. Oh, I'd love to have you fill in the gap. And we all do that. What we should say is, you need to be content. Yeah, right. No, you have to try. You have to think about spiritual things, because when you get to heaven, you will be content. So we have to try and be content in this world. And that's difficult. And I love the way the King James words sometimes are a little difficult to understand. But the whole idea here is talking about getting rid of stuff. The stuff that is natural, that's just the way we're built and what we do and how we think. And we have to change those things. You have to put them in. So you look at it, anger. You're not allowed to be angry. Anger is a sin. That's tough, isn't it? You know, hands up those never get angry. Hands up those who never get forceful. You know, wrath is not allowed. You know, force is not allowed. Violence is not allowed. And blasphemy, filthy commitment. These things we have to put aside. Why? Well, because you are a different person. You are now, what I love is that in being a new person, okay, we are now not our own. We are bought with a price. I love that thought, you know. When Jesus said on the cross, it's finished, we're paid for. Sin has been paid for. You are bought with a price. I own you. And God said, I created you. And when you accepted Christ, I own you. And you are safe from everything, because your future is secure in heaven. You're now citizens of heaven, bought with a price, paid for, and you must act accordingly. You don't have a choice. You go, that's a lot to put on a person, isn't it? But, you know, that's what's supposed to be like. We are new people. We have to act accordingly. And it's difficult. But God knows you can do it. You can do it. You can put on these things. I love it. Put it on. It's like you got to put these things on, okay? You got to put them on, gird yourself up, because that's the new person that you are. Bowels of mercy. I love that phrase. That's, you take your mercy comes from here and it comes out. And you want to be merciful. You want to be a blessing. You want to do it. That's easy, isn't it, when you wake up in the morning? Yeah, right. No, it's not. But it's what we're supposed to strive for. You know, and it's hard being as humble as I am, but I have to be. Stop smiling. That's another issue, isn't it, that we have to deal with. Being meek and long-suffering, it's not natural. But this is the new person that we are. And this is the person that we have to love and cherish. And I meet a lot of Christians who keep beating themselves up. Not supposed to do that. In fact, chapter 2 talked about that. Don't beat yourself up. Grow in grace. Forgive others. Yes. Forgive yourself. Why? Because Christ did when he saved you. So you have to forgive yourself. And churches, I can never understand how a church splits. I've dealt with 3 of them now in my lifetime. What are Christians doing arguing and fighting with Christians? No wonder we got a bad reputation. Jackie and I worked with Iranian refugees in Auckland. And the first thing almost the Iranians ask you anytime, because they're Muslims, they're generic Muslims, not really Muslims, they're generic Muslims. And they say, which type of Christianity is the right one? That's a good question, isn't it? He said, because we see all these different types. Which one is the right one? We're confused. And why are you different? So you have to explain. You have to say, well, we're Bible-believing Christians. Well, aren't all Christians Bible-believing? Well, no, unfortunately. Some have a biased view of Christianity. And so, you know, that's the world looking at us. And we have to be forgiving one another. And we don't quarrel. We're supposed to sit down and reason together, says the Lord. And so, you know, that's something that's part of what we have to do individually with other Christians and then collectively as a church. We have to put on charity. And I love that word. It's probably one of my favorite Bible words, charity. I have a whole message. Ask me to preach it sometime, okay? I have a whole message on charity. And it's a wonderful thing. Today we have the wrong idea about charity. When the word charity was written in the King James, it was talking about love in action. Charity is an action word. It's when you look at it in the Greek, that's what it means. It's something doing. And this brought this home to me. I was in Bible college for about 6 months, and one of the pastors was teaching about love and one thing or another, and he said to one of the students, do you love your wife? And the student said, yes, I do. And he said, prove it. Well, come on, prove it. How are you going to prove? Yeah, I love my wife. How am I going to prove that? I have to tell you about my actions, don't I? Because saying it is one thing. Demonstrating it is charity. Love in action. And that's what we have to be. We have to put that on. And God calls that's perfection. When you've got that sorted out, that you can love and you can love in action, not just in words but in doing. Now you're starting to understand what a Christian is really all about. And so we have to grow in grace. We're a new creature. We're saved. We're citizens of heaven. You know, and whatever we do, and I love this verse too, he said, we're to do it, you know, because we have to. Is that what it says? We do it because we have to. It's expected. You know. It says heartily. I love that. We're supposed to enjoy being Christians. I've met some mournful Christians. They're not enjoying it. And they're doing something wrong. Okay? Because you're supposed to enjoy it. You know, one day we're going to be in heaven. All of us together. So you better love me, okay? And I better love you. Because if not, we're not going to have a very nice time in heaven. All right? So you get on with people. No point, you know, arguing is just not the thing. Anyway, whatever we do it heartily, and we do it as if to the Lord, not unto men. When I was first employed, having a job was a wonderful thing, because I didn't have any education, and so I had to do a menial job. And so I took a menial job, and I just did it the very best that I could. I was in early, and I worked late, you know, and the company really, really appreciated me. And they really, really thought I was doing a good job. And they just kept praising me and saying how good I was and raising my salary sort of reflected my... No. Don't expect that. We expect that. We're expecting what the world's doing. And we shouldn't do that. We should set our goals higher and walk in wisdom towards them, that without redeeming the time. Understand the world has a different agenda. It's going in a different direction. We're swimming against the tide. We're on the narrow road. And we have to understand that. Don't get drawn off. And let your speech be always with grace. I love this. Seasoned with salt, be light, but gently, with meekness and long-suffering, so that when we answer from the heart, being merciful, being charitable. It's the way that we should behave. And I went to Philippians because I love this. I'm going to read it because I just love it. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it. Paul saying, look, in all my experience, and all the places I've been, and all the things, I don't get it all. I just don't understand it all. So it's okay not to understand. I haven't apprehended it. I haven't understood everything. But this one thing I know, I've learned something. And the one thing I know, forget that stuff. Every day is a new day. Every day you're saved. If you have accepted Jesus Christ, you are a forgiven sinner, and you can go on. And that's your job, is to go on, growing in grace, growing in understanding, growing in wisdom. We're supposed to understand those things. Forget what's behind and have high thoughts. Have spiritual thoughts. Have understanding thoughts. Be a blessing. Be all you can be, because the time is coming. And for me, it's probably closer than it is for you. But as you get older, you realize that very soon now, I'm going to be experiencing something absolutely wonderful. Why? Well, because I am a new person. I am saved. I am a citizen of heaven. And he said unto me, it's done. It's finished. You're saved. You're a citizen of heaven. You're all that you're ever going to be. And I will give unto you that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life, and he that overcomes shall inherit all things. As one of those 100% words. Everything that we will ever need is taken care of in the future. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And that's a promise for every saved believer. Joint heirs with Christ. We should celebrate that, shouldn't we? Up from the grave he arose, a mighty triumph o'er his foes. Wonderful psalm. I love it. So, growing in grace. What we need to do based on the future that is secure for us in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. Help us, Father, to be mature, to be growing in understanding, loving you more, setting our sights higher than they are now, so that every day, every week, every month, every year, we grow closer to you. Help us, Father, to be all that we can be in Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.